This is a Spirit of Truth Radio Network original program.
I think if you want to be a good writer, then you must be a great reader. The same holds true if you want to be a good podcaster. It really helps if you listen to great podcasts. For me, I make a habit of listening to Catholic Recon, Pat King's Man Cave, Talking with a Good Man, and of course, Trace's videos on the YouTube channel Iron Sharpens Iron. But lately, I've found a wonderful podcast that is an absolute joy to listen to. To me, great podcasts help me to refine my philosophy and help me to better understand theology. Each episode helps to awaken my desire to grow. Joining me along the way is fellow podcaster, Father David Stavars. Father, welcome.
Great to be with you today.
Father, you are one of the hosts of one of my favorite podcasts.
Wow.
Hey. It really is. It's great. Father, you are the host of Coffee Conversations, and it's a look into, to me, it's a look into St. Gabriel's Parish in Ohio. You're a priest in the Diocese of Cleveland. You have a great podcast where you and your deacon, Deacon Bob, will sort of get together, kind of have a talk, a little conversation about what's going on in the parish, the school, all that. But then you kind of sneak in your theme. I remember one theme was mystagogy, which we'll talk about that too and what that truly is. Father, how did you come to have such a great podcast?
Yeah, well, a couple things. Certainly the Lord has a plan for our lives, and we're kind of along for the ride sometimes, and hopefully we say yes, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Deacon Bob, who's been at the parish for a number of years, and he's been involved in faith formation in a lot of ways. So St. Gabriel's is my first parish. So just a little side note, it's been 4 years of priesthood, and 8 months of it was great, and then COVID kind of came with all the fun of that, and very interesting time. Like first Easter was behind a camera, first Holy Week in a very, very different place, so certainly God's providence bringing about all of this. I think because of the fruit of the podcast, it's just amazing that you kind of found us and we connected. But it really started that. So Deacon Bob, he wanted to kind of do something faith for adult faith formation wise, right? Mm-hmm. So the pandemic really kind of knocked us off our stool a little bit in regards to like, how do we be church? How do we do ministry? How do we do formation when, we don't have people here physically? Mm-hmm. And so thankfully, God's given us the internet, and we can connect in ways we've never even imagined before. And, he wanted to do an adult faith formation thing. So we were thinking about, do we do video stuff, and we eventually went to a podcast. How do we share, the fruit of our parish? How do we share the fruit of our faith, considering there's our faith, the tradition of our faith has so much to say? How do we share that with people? So we landed on the podcast, and it's been really good. And I think part of it was, how do we reach people that might be on the fringes of of the parish life, and talk about things that are eventually things again started to happen at the parish. How do we kind of reflect on what's going on here? And because it's important for us, because certainly a parish, especially as large as St. Gabriel's, it's about 4,000 family parish, outside of Cleveland. There's a lot of things can be going on, and it's the conveyor belt of parish life, and gives us a chance to kind of stop and reflect on, what are the good things, and where is God, and what is this? What is the significance of the things that kind of just happen in every day? And in parish life, it's different every day. Priesthood is different.
Absolutely.
Every single day, and it's a blessing. So it was a way of, how do we unpack the good things that are going on here? How do we create a space where people can occupy that may not be super involved in the parish, but as the pandemic unfolded, people were doing podcasts everywhere, and if people are in that venue, how do we occupy that venue? And then how do we reconnect people, not just with our podcast, but other things we come across, other podcasts that I've listened to that really inspired me to do this. Probably my most influential podcast with Catholic Stuff You Should Know, as there's some priests out in Denver. And The format's very similar. It's, you know, banter, and then just kind of authentically goes into a conversation based on that. You know, if we're in that space, you know, we got to occupy that. But then how do we lead people ultimately to the parish, you know, to the Eucharist? How do we lead people into the life of the community from that? So that's kind of how it started. And really, you know, we have at our school, we have, you know, parents will pick up kids, you know, before and after school, and they're sitting in the parking lot. So we figured for probably 25, 30 minutes. So we figured, well, why not make a podcast that they can connect with? And, you know, instead of, you know, scrolling on our phones, as we all have a tendency to do, you know, just kind of mindlessly, why don't we fill it with something good, something of faith? So.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you did, because the way I came across Coffee Conversations was, as my audience knows, I'm a land surveyor, and I was out one day just doing this one job that was just very tedious, very repetitive, and I needed something to sort of just occupy my mind. I said my prayers, and so I typed in Catholic podcasts and was scrolling through all the ones that were alcohol-based, and, you know, the ones with, you know, a lot of heavy answers, and, you know, then you go through the rock stars of the Jeff Cavins and the
Michael Smith.
Yeah. The Matt Frad, you go through all the big names, and I came across Coffee Conversations. I said, I'll give this one a try. It looked different. And what happened was you had a guest on. And you don't usually have too many guests on, do you?
No, it was kind of, you know, we've kind of kept it Deacon Bob and I, but yeah, that was kind of a special thing, but we just kind of felt called to do that.
Yeah. And it was about philosophy. And this is something that's always going through my mind, because as I always say, I'm a simple man with a simple theology, one that is based in divine mercy. And mm-hmm. I'm taking Thoreau's, you know, simplify. And I want to simplify the Catholic theology for me. And I want to be able to explain those mysteries of my life. I want to be able to ponder those mysteries of my life with a philosophy that works. So that's why I asked you, Father, to come and join me. And can we talk about, you know, how do we develop our own personal philosophies, but yet still keep true to the faith and not wander into modernism or relativism, any of the isms that are going to take us away from Catholicism.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really good. I know we talked just a little bit kind of before this to kind of get our thoughts out a bit, but you know, I think that's a really good question. How do I live rightly, and well and authentically? And, how do I, you know, and considering, you know, the Christian journey, right, that we're not simply just meant for here. We're not simply just meant to just enjoy the good things of earth, that we're meant for heaven. What does that mean? You know, how should I live on the day to day? And yeah, there's a lot of great wisdom out there to help us kind of form our minds that, you know, like you said, certainly kind of with the situation we find ourselves today. And I know you talk with Bishop Cullinan about this too, just the modernism and relativism. You know, we could say, you know, that boiled down would be like, you know, the YOLO culture, right? Mm. So YOLO stands for, you know, you only live once. And that would be like a hashtag on different videos and different posts. And it's kind of like a justification for, you know, kind of doing whatever you want to do in the moment and not really considering the consequences, both to yourself and other people. Like, well, you only live once, so you might as well do it now and, you know, kind of live in the moment. You know, a lot of people hear that. And you could, that's a philosophy, right? That's a way of thinking about what is reality and what is my place in that. Mm-hmm. So everyone has a philosophy. Everyone has a way of thinking about who they are. Is there a God? Is there not a God? You know, is there an afterlife? Is there not an afterlife? And then what meaning is there to my life, if any? And then what is that meaning? So everyone has a philosophy, whether they could articulate it, whether they could talk about it or not. Everyone has a philosophy. Just happens to be, you know, some of the philosophies, personal philosophies we see nowadays maybe aren't as helpful as the one that Christianity can give us, right?
What sets it apart, a modern philosophy to a classic Christian?
Yeah. Well, I'd say a lot of different ways, I suppose. Well, initially, what would be different? So we know as Christians, we're created in the Imago Dei, which is a Latin phrase meaning in the image and likeness, of God, that we're God's children. We're not a result of a random, scientific process that's just kind of unraveled and we kind of find ourselves here. We're not simply animals, we have animal qualities to us. We're a creature, but we've also been given, we've been endowed with a reason, an intellect, and a will, and a soul, right? And that the human soul, so that's the soul is something that philosophy talks about. Philosophy is, the love of wisdom is what it breaks down to. Mm-hmm. But it's human thinking that breaks down into the basic questions. Who am I? What am I? How can I know things? And what should I do in life? Essentially, those are the four questions that philosophy will answer. So, we've been created. We've been given life. We're not simply random. We're not just a creature. There's a divine part of us, and then we certainly know through the revelation of the church, that we have sacraments and God works through sacraments to further create us into who we're fully called to be, which is saints. Mm-hmm. Saints being men and women who live a heavenly life, ultimately, at the end of our life, on the other side. But who are the saints? Those who live a heavenly life here and now. And I think a fundamental understanding of what does it mean to be a human being, I think that's kind of the first kind of major thing. But then maybe two, and I think this ties into what we're dealing with in the culture, is nowadays we kind of, and Bishop Barron talks about this a lot, and a lot of people in the church talk about it, this kind of hyper-individualism. So it kind of goes along with relativism, relativism being, we've heard it before in different ways, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, and we'll just agree to disagree and go along living life and have a beer and whatever. And maybe there's times for that, right? Mm-hmm. We're not necessarily going to agree on everything, but it doesn't mean we simply throw truth out, right? That truth does exist. But individualism would be, I'm kind of just the center of the world, and not that someone wants to do that, but it's kind of me, and I kind of decide what's good for me, and there's a break with the fact that I come from somewhere, and I'm a part of a group of people, and actually being dependent on others is really important, and it's not just about, maybe this kind of summarized in the American principle, kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, mm-hmm. and kind of you making things happen in your own life through your own will and your own making happen, that ultimately we need other people. And that would be, the image of being a part of the body of Christ, that the saints didn't become saints on their own. They certainly needed God and his grace, but they needed other people to help them along the way. So that's kind of a lot of things, but.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for the plug, the show name along the way.
By the way. There you go. Yeah.
Do you think Jesus was aware of Aristotle and Socrates and the ancient Greek philosophies?
I think so. Why not? Right. I suppose I don't know technically, but we could say, maybe. I think he was definitely, St. Joseph, right? Whose feast we celebrate today on this recording, St. Joseph the Worker, right? Mm-hmm. That he had a human father that taught him things. And I think he would have been one that pondered, he would have been one that thought about what does it mean to be human and all the, on all these things, right? So he's fully God, right? Mm-hmm. So he has that part of him, but he's also fully human. He needed to learn like the rest of us. So yeah, I think it's probable. If he didn't know them by name, I think he would have thought about things. For sure.
I guess the tie to that would be St. Thomas Aquinas, when Jesus had said to him, you know, you've written of me well. I know that you're a little bit into Aquinas, and I'm just curious. There's not much of a stretch between Aquinas and Aristotle.
Right. Well, and Aquinas took a lot of his thought. I mean, it was based out of Aristotelian thought. So Aristotle. Yeah. And yeah, there was another thing it's looking at the past. What can we learn from the past? You know, there's a difference between, you know, the Catholic Christian and maybe kind of the secular modern person. Mm-hmm. You know, the past has something to tell us. So in that sense, I think that's why Jesus would have known, you know, about the philosophers, and that in sense of, you know, the Jewish people were a people of history, right? They talked about the prophets. They talked about who had come before, because believe it or not, they might have had some good ideas about things. And no, I think that's true.
Can't we say the same about the modern day church? And I don't, you know, go against Catholic tradition or traditional Catholicism, you know, when I ask this, but I mean, we are moving forward, growing still, mm-hmm. and our philosophy needs to remain rooted in the tradition of the church, but yet reflect a modern.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's the phrase, you know, ever ancient, ever new. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, especially on the religious side of things, you know, there's the development of doctrine. And that can be, you know, it's not necessarily that the church's teachings change, but it's how are those, you know, eternal truths, those things that have been revealed to us. Because, you know, in the church, you know, we're not simply just philosophers, you know, we don't just use our reason to look at reality and come to conclusions about things, that we've had things revealed to us. And that's one of the things I wanted to bring out in our own podcast, that like, this didn't just come out of nowhere, or this didn't just come out of our own thinking about, you know, things. Like, to know that there is a God that is Father, Son, and Spirit, mm-hmm. in the deeply complex way that the church can understand it and talk about that, that's not something any human being could have thought up, right? Mm-hmm. That's revelation, that this was revealed to us. Yeah, and so like, what does the Trinity mean? Who is Jesus? What is the gospel? You know, that those things don't change, but how it's articulated and explained needs to be developed, because humanity is at a different place, you know, every time. And I think that's, you know, in regards to, you know, Vatican II and different things, you know, certainly there's a lot of conversation in the church about, you know, the significance of Vatican II, and people having all kinds of thoughts about, you know, what the council said and what came out of the council, you know, what actually happened and this and that. But and I'm reading a book on the council by George Weigel, which I found very interesting. And he gives a lot of the context historically, you know, how did this come to be, this conversation? Why was it significant that John the 23rd called it when he was totally not expected to? And, you know, if anything, you know, it's how do we take the truth of the faith and adapt it to the modern ear, when the modern ear, especially in Europe, the modern soul had been destroyed because of, you know, the world wars. Mm. You know, how do you preach the gospel after Auschwitz? How do you explain that there's a good and loving God, you know, after people have experienced horrific evil? You know, the truth hasn't changed, but how we explain it, how we bring it to people, has to be new in a sense. And so I think, you know, that's part of, you know, where the council was coming from. That's part of where the church comes from when, you know, we develop things. Yeah.
How does our philosophy affect our spirituality?
Yeah, well, I think it's, what is our philosophy? You know, what do we think is true about who we are and who God is? And then our spirituality would be, you know, what is our interaction with the divine, right? With God. Mm-hmm. And I think it translates something into a way of life. You know, how do we live the truths out in our day to day? I think when we were talking about this originally, I think I thought about Saint Benedict, founder of monasticism. So monks, you know, Benedictine monks and things. Yep. And every religious order has a different kind of niche of what they do and how they evangelize and live the faith. Mm-hmm. I thought of that, and it's like, so Benedict, he came up with this rule of life. So it's a list of rules that the monks live by, and they're based not out of randomness, right? But they're based in, you know, who do we know God is? You know, who are we? And you know, where does virtue and obedience and grace and fraternity and all these things kind of how do those things that we know are true kind of make it into our daily life, into our lived experience? And I think maybe that's where the two could come together.
We had talked about Saint Benedict's rule, and I was curious, if a man were to say take and write down his experiences and formulate them, what would you think about? Because journaling is such a great way to keep track of your life.
Yeah.
But I thought about how important would it be to maybe pass down that rule, that the philosophy of your life to maybe your son, and just kind of boil it down to like the most important things, you know, that, mm-hmm. that have meant something to you in your life.
No, that's really great. Yeah. I keep a journal myself spiritually, you know, but you know, my journal kind of weaves in and out of me processing, you know, my day. Processing kind of the things that happen, the interactions I have, the things I'm frustrated with, the things I'm joyful about, but then also it's weaved in with prayer, right? Because we can meditate on there's a huge difference between prayer and meditation. Yep. That meditation is, you know, thinking about life, it's reflecting, but prayer is when we take that meditation, when we take that thought and actually direct it at God. Mm-hmm. We actually make it a conversation. So that's something that's been really important for me to kind of digest my day and what do I actually think about these things? So that's really important, because until you know what to say, you can't share it with somebody else.
Absolutely. You know, Father, some of the things that I've been thinking about, and I was trying to figure a way to ask this as a question to you, but it's a story. As I shared with you earlier, I am a land surveyor by trade. And this one story comes to mind. We were in this huge piece of property, and I was working with a guy who was a new crew chief, and I had just come onto this company, and I was basically hired as an instrument operator. So my job was just to, you know, carry the instrument and take all the shots and all that. So I really didn't have much say, even though I'd spent, you know, 9 years in the military. I knew land navigation, and you know, I was pretty comfortable in the woods. As we walked in, I remember hearing an airport behind us. And so as we got deeper and deeper into the woods, I knew that all I got to do was just turn around and walk towards that airport. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy that I was with, who turns out to be a great guy and he's a good friend to this day, he says, "Dave, no, we're going this way," which was completely opposite way of... Mm-hmm. of the airport. And I said, "No, Matt, we don't, we go this way." And he says, he didn't pull rank on me or anything like that, but I just was not going to let him walk all that way by himself. Yeah. Even knowing that I knew that I didn't know where we were going. And I just sometimes find life can be like that. You're not going to let your friends go and get hurt. You're not going to abandon your friends. And that can be the same in a religious setting as well.
Sure.
So how do we hear the voice or the sound of the church amongst all these other distractions? And when do we say enough is enough? And, you know, no, we're going back this way.
Yeah, I think, well, I think it's, first, it takes time. It takes reflectiveness. It takes, you know, looking at the tradition of the church, you know, and looking at, you know, not just what people are talking about, you know, the church, mm-hmm. or talking about what the church teaches, right? Because we know we can get sound bites from all kind of different kinds of places, right?
Absolutely.
Both inside of the church and not in the church. And that's certainly in our internet time, where, you know, nowadays, especially since the pandemic, they're starting to do more long form conversations. You know, I think Matt Fred did a 5-hour conversation with someone the other day, right? Yep. So you can get context, right? Looking beyond the sound bites and investing in, you know, what is more. And, you know, it may not be going to the Summa and picking up the Summa, because that's a pretty meat and potatoes thing, right? Mm. But I think it's looking to, you know, what is the tradition of the church, right? I think a lot of, we can live so in the moment that we don't realize that there is so much more, you know, in the past that's been written on. And this is a thing, I think, you know, so the saints, right? Mm-hmm. We believe in the communion of the saints. We believe there's men and women who've gone before us. And a lot of times what we know about the saints is their biographies, right? We know when they were born, how many kids they grew up with, where they went to school, what monastery or order they were a part of, the thing, you know, or how many orders or monasteries did they begin, or, and then even maybe about the story of their martyrdom. You know, we know the biographical facts. Yeah. But do we look at their writings? Do we look at the things that, you know, talk about journals and things? I mean, Thérèse of Lisieux or John of the Cross. I mean, there's the mystics of the church. There's so much there of, they've already walked this path already, right? Mm-hmm. And this is true of the philosophers of the saints. And do we not just read their biographies, but do we read their letters, and do we read their, you know, do we read their spiritual writings, their own relationship with God? There's so much to be learned. There's so much to be learned from the saints. I mean, just start there.
Yeah, you got to figure that the church has 2,000 years of spiritual direction written.
Right. And there's, you know, again, nowadays there's so many ways we can find that, you know, via the internet. So many saints, you know, look at their writings. What did they write? You know, so. Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's, Father, that's what I really like about your podcast, is that you really do bridge nicely the teaching, you know, the traditional teaching into a modern context.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really important. Me and Dave Imhoff. Dave, do you have anything you want to?
Well, I'd like to just pile on a little thought and suggestion of something I do, is the Divine Office. Every day there's the Office of Readings.
Right.
And, you know, your point about, you know, I'm not a great reader, I'll have to tell you and admit, and there's, I assume there's people like me as well, but those, the second reading in the read is a reading on the, from scripture, and one, maybe from, you know, patristic, one of the church fathers or a saint, or mm-hmm. sometimes they have a reading from, Vatican II documents, et cetera. I just think that's a nice little diet to look at, to read those daily if you can, and to get that kind of spiritual reflection as you're talking about. That's my thought.
No, that's really great. And yeah, what are those traditional resources the church has? You know, I think the breviary is coming more into the focus of the church in different ways. Again, I know Bishop Barron's, you know, has those liturgy of the hours kind of things out for people to make it more accessible, because you know, the whole breviary, you know, you got ribbons and you got pages and you got to pay attention, and it you need a class to figure it out. But no, it is. And I think to know that there is a 2,000 year tradition doesn't mean we need to consume it all in an hour, because, you know, and there's a great desire there, right? So to want to know. But, you know, our seminary formation is 9 years, you know, between undergraduate and graduate. And on our graduate side in Cleveland, we do an internship year at a parish, where okay, you've learned things, you know, try to get into parish life and, you know, kind of adapt these things, you know, but it doesn't take a year, right? It's not just about learning, you know, the practicals of how to be a priest and how to say mass and go do it. You have to be formed, and that just takes time. It's like, you know, like tea, you know, you have to steep the water in the tea. It's, you can't drink it right away. So taking it in little bits, little tidbits. Today for St. Joseph the Worker, they had a reading from Gaudium et Spes, you know, which is one of the Vatican II documents, and talking about, you know, the value of work. And we talk about something that's applicable. You know, we all have worked, right, before. Mm-hmm. There's people who work mentally and intellectually. There's people who work with their hands and all, everywhere in between. But I was talking about, you know, the value of work, even the holiness of work, that in the garden, you know, Adam and Eve, it was this place of paradise that they worked. You know, they had to cultivate the earth. And then there's a goodness, there's an importance to that. If we don't work, we're kind of aimless sometimes. And there's a value to kind of achieving things, you know, not in an end in and of itself, but that even God himself, you know, worked 7 days and then he rested. And this balance between work and rest is kind of how we've been created. And if we don't do one or the other, we can find ourselves not in a good way. But I think definitely the taking the tidbits is good.
How do we keep our philosophy simple and applicable to our lives?
I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, I think it has to work. I think we need to be able to pack it and unpack it and carry it with us. And what I mean by that is it can't slow us down. It can't hold us back from moving forward in the mm-hmm. direction that we need to go. This is something that I think about a lot, but I don't have a 100% answer to it. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of the nice part about philosophy. It's like, we don't have to have the answer right now, but we're thinking about it. We're talking through it, right? Yeah, I was thinking about, as you kind of begged the question of having a personal philosophy, I kind of asked, like, what is my personal philosophy? I don't think I've necessarily, mm-hmm. you know, thought about it in that way. But I suppose you look to the things that you value. Look to the things you spend your time doing, and you can see what your philosophy is, I suppose, right? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about, okay, well, what would be my personal philosophy? Well, I value exercise. I value, getting out in the world and seeing creation, because it's not just a random kind of coming together of things, but it is a gift from God. And for as much as I know God is present to me at liturgy and the Eucharist, I personally experience God, you know, when I'm walking outside in a very profound way, you know, mm-hmm. just smelling the earth, hearing the birds chirp, looking at the mountains, you know, just the way I've been created. I just have I have a sensitivity to that. And I feel God in present, you know, in nature. But, you know, sweating and giving yourself, you know, to exercise is good. Prayer, obviously, I believe in a God that I can communicate with. So, you know, in my day, there has to be prayer. And sometimes I struggle with that as a priest, because you can be busy amidst the things, right? Yeah. But my personal time of prayer is really important. Work, obviously, the things of ministry is important. But having rest, having downtime, playing my guitar, being with people, you know, and friends where I can share my heart with, and I can share my journey with, which kind of shows it's the belief that we do have a deeper to share in our lives. So do we have someone close to us that we can share what's going on in our lives? And then study, you know, that I want to give some amount of time every week, at least, you know, to reading something, to listening a podcast. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, my parents live, not thankfully, but in a sense, my parents live an hour away in Akron, Ohio. If you've never been, it's a great place, but it's about an hour, commute from here to there. So I go there once a week. So it's kind of a nice space for a podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a nice way of, you know, you're kind of just driving in the car and you got that space. And I want to learn, not just for my own sake, but obviously for the people who have questions about all kinds of things. So, you know, furthering my intellectual understanding of things. So it's I think keeping it simple, but looking at the things I do and then maybe asking what's behind that? Why am I doing that? What do I believe about myself and God and all these things?
You know, for me, Father, I've kind of boiled it or am still boiling it down to just a simple acronym. And the acronym, and I've said it on the show many times, is GROW. Gratitude, reconciliation, others, meaning service to them, and then the wilderness of prayer. When we start to practice those characteristics, those charisms or whatever, our trust in God and our holiness become the measure of our growth. TH, trust and holiness.
Nice.
So that's kind of how I try to stay grounded, and I try to develop a philosophy that's simple and, you know, can. Because that same formula can be used for prayer. I mean, you pray, you know, your prayers of gratitude to God. You reconcile. Not only do you reconcile with, you know, God, reconcile with your neighbor, but you reconcile with yourself. And that's sometimes the hardest part of reconciliation, is reconciling with yourself, believing that God can really forgive you. And his mercy is beyond our ability to fathom. You know, entering the wilderness of prayer, you know, in the book of Genesis, it says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. And that's very, very important. It's a great time to, as St. Ignatius did, the examination of conscience, actually to just, you know, abandon the formal prayers and just call God Daddy.
Yeah. No, as you were talking, those are all really good. You know, this kind of this GROW acronym principle. And as you were talking, it kind of reminded me, you know, these, in a sense of, we could put, you know, having a personal philosophy a different way. What are my values? Mm-hmm. Right. I think most people could kind of think about it that way. Like, what are my values? What do I value? And that, again, what do you value? Look back at what fills your life, what decisions you make. And all your values are things outside of you. Right? Mm-hmm. They're God, they're others, you know, reconciliation. Obviously, there's a consideration of the other, and gratitude. You know, there's this, and I would say, you know, humility is a, kind of a part of all of these things, right? And humility, obviously, is a very Christian value, Christian philosophy, philosophical principle, you could say, a theological thing too. But yeah, what are our values? And then we're kind of asking the question, do my values align with the tradition? And do my values correlate? You know, is there a balance between my values, my personal values, and where the church is coming from, insofar as God has revealed himself and he's made the truth known through the church at and its fullness, but certainly through other people, right? The pagan philosophers taught us many things that the church then developed and took into what we then God revealed. So yeah, what are my values? And, you know, I'd say one, maybe we can assess whether this value is in our life or not, but the value of performance versus humility, like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think one American value is performance, right? So again, kind of going back to the pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, it's, you know, and certainly we have education in school, like how well am I doing on my tests? You know, am I getting into the school? Do I have this career where I'm making this amount of money? You know, what sports am I in? And am I, you know, the best on the team? And has our team, you know, made the championship? And, you know, we can be very performance based.
Yep.
And that's a value that determines a lot of things. And certainly we're meant to give ourselves, right? Irenaeus, you know, man, the glory of God is man fully alive, but we're not alive for ourselves. We're alive for God. And sometimes we can live out of a performance mentality. Like, I have to perform well at all the things I do. That's a value, right? Mm-hmm. We can end up kind of, if we live out of that value, that philosophy, we're going to get pretty beat up because, you know, we're imperfect and yeah, there's, it's just going to be, that's a value that's going to be, that's going to form our life. So is that the value we want really at the end of the day? Hmm.
Father, on your show, you just recently, one of your last few episodes, you discussed something called mystagogy. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, mystagogy.
And I guess your definition of it is when you have an experience, a profound experience with God. What has been your most profound experience with God, if you don't mind sharing it?
Yeah, in my mind, at this point in time, I don't think I can say one. Mm-hmm. Here's one. So I was coming back from a retreat in Scranton, PA. Mm-hmm. And was with a very holy priest out there for an 8-day Ignatian retreat. And this actually really kind of ties into what I was saying before. So I did an 8-day retreat, and then I was coming back to Ohio, and I knew that I had an extra day in between this retreat and then being back, you know, at the parish I was at. I think I was in seminary at the time. So I had an extra day. So I was like, well, before the retreat, I decided, well, I'm gonna throw a tent in my car, and I'm just gonna camp somewhere in PA on the way back from this retreat. Retreat ended up being kind of a life-changing experience and in different ways of prayer. And so the morning of, I'm finishing this retreat. I didn't know what I was doing or where I was going. So I swear the Holy Spirit has a connection to my Google account, because whenever I travel and use Google, the Lord directs me in the right ways. But I typed in camping in PA into Google, right? Mm-hmm. So there's probably a few places to camp, you know, in PA, between Ohio and Scranton, PA. So I just kind of quickly find something. I'm like, I want something along 80 that's going through the center of PA. I want, you know, something close. I want something with some hiking, because I want to do some hiking. I find this place in the middle of nowhere, middle of central PA, just north of 80. It's called Ricketts Glen State Park. So, okay, great. Well, I ended up going there, and it was probably the most beautiful hiking place I could ever have chosen, right? There was like, it was the hiking trail was like a triangle. So you started at the top of this mountain, and as you walked down each side, there was like probably 25 waterfalls, just like varying sizes. And I was like on a retreat high, just like encountering the Lord in so many ways. And this was like the cherry on top of just really feeling the Lord's presence of like, I could never have chosen this myself. And there was just, it was in the springtime, and it was just a beautiful place. And I was talking to people along the way, and like, yeah, this is like the nicest unknown, you know, state park on this side of the country, and this and blah, blah, blah. And it was beautiful. And just obviously there's a lot of personal ways that just connected with me, in ways. So, yeah. So God speaks through a lot of things. And if we have the humility to know that we don't have the best plan for our life and are open to the Holy Spirit, that God can do good things.
For me, it was the rosary, the wedding feast at Cana.
Yeah.
I received there was no visions or visitations or anything like that, but I just experienced such a grace of knowledge, you know, a grace of understanding that Mary was my mother. And that was really when the door and the floodgates really opened to my return back to the Catholic Church.
Mm. Yeah. Whenever we have an encounter with God, it's a personal thing. Mm-hmm. In regards to it's about persons, right? It's not just about experiences or energies or this or that, like, mm-hmm. that we know we're loved by a person, and that person being Mary, that person being Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. that person. Right. I think to say what would be the fruit of the hike thing, like I knew I was very loved in that moment, and I was loved in a way that was beyond my understanding, that this was not just a random occasion, you know, you feeling, you know, Jesus's love through Mary, through the Eucharist, through the rosary, you know, that's a grace. That's beautiful.
Yeah. My return to the Catholic Church truly is to Jesus through Mary. I never felt I was good enough for Jesus, but you know, Mary loves everybody. So, you know, so,
It's beautiful.
I definitely have a devotion. Father, you mentioned that you are a hiker and you like hiking. Tell me about your holy hikes, because we've been talking a little bit throughout this season seven about, pilgrimages and retreats, and, tell me a little bit about the holy hikes.
Yeah. So holy hiking is a kind of a fun thing we started here at the parish. When I got here, and again, providentially, it was a thing we could carry through the pandemic when, you know, we couldn't be inside, but we could be outside in different ways. Holy hiking is a pretty simple thing. So we have a Saturday morning mass here, 8:30 mass. So the idea is to join at the altar together and celebrate the Eucharist, and then go out to a local metro park in Ohio, and especially in the county that I live, Lake County. We have phenomenal metro parks, so public parks and the hiking trails. And the geography is very nice, where you get some hills and everything, but they're just very beautifully developed. So we go out with a group of people, and we meet together. I'll have some snacks and things. We read the gospel for the weekend, and then I'll usually kind of look at a commentary beforehand, you know, share a few thoughts on the significance of this thing or that thing. And then we hike, you know, and it's a really casual space. Anybody can come. You can be part of the church, not part of the church, Catholic, non-Catholic, non-religious. You know, I think it's, where do we have spaces in the church? No, not necessarily physically, but like, where do we have places where people can imagine themselves, you know, going on a hike on a Saturday morning is not that threatening, you know?
Yep.
So we walk together. People can talk about whatever they want to talk about. They want to talk about their week. They can talk about the gospel. They can talk about something that's been on their mind. And then after a little while, we'll join together for a time of just sharing, you know, what have you been thinking about, you know, and we, you know, do keep it centered on the gospel. What are your thoughts? What are your reflections? What are your questions? We do that for a while. And sometimes we'll talk for maybe 5-10 minutes, just, and people really have some, I think the revelation is that people really have some profound, you know, thoughts and profound questions about the gospel that they're going to hear on the weekend. We walk again a little bit, and then we have the second time we stop along the trail is really a kind of a time of just silence. So it's the Lectio Divina kind of way, divine reading. It's a way of reading the scriptures where we sit with the scriptures and see, is there a word that hits us? Is there an image that comes to our mind when we're reading? What are we experiencing when we read the scriptures? So we just sit in silence for probably a few minutes, which is just really nice because you're in the woods and you're just quiet. And sometimes other people will walk by that are not in our group and they're like, what are these random group of people just standing in silence together? So it's okay. We have to part the sea of the trail for a little bit. But then I'll read the gospel really slowly, and it's like, I'll invite them to share, you know, was there an image or a word that just kind of popped out to you, and just share that, you know? And then we walk a little long, finish the hike. It's about 2 hours, but it's a great way just to kind of get out in nature, read the gospel, right, which we can have with us no matter where we are, and walk together. So
that sounds like a lot of fun and a great way to evangelize, Father. You know, especially, you know, that's one thing that Dave Imhoff and I are working together with is the Knights of Columbus new evangelization and faith formation project. I don't even know. It's not really a project, but it's an initiative that they're putting forth. And they encourage us to be open to all the different groups that are within the church, and to make things available to not just members of the Knights of Columbus, but to other men of the parish.
No, that's great. Yeah, what are the spaces that are inviting, you know, that people would imagine themselves in? Mm-hmm. And then really, what's the common ground we can have with each other, right? Yeah. Because we know in our polarized day and age, there's always something we can argue about within the church. And that can be very troublesome, right? People, we think we're on the same page at some point. We're not about this or that. But the gospel brings us together, right? What are the deep and fundamental things, you know, that we can talk about? And sharing sharing our experiences and sharing our journeys and how this affects us too. That's authentic. And yeah, if we come to know each other, I think better, I think we can hear each other better too, especially when it comes to talking about this or that. So it gives us a sense of common ground and relationship, right?
Mm-hmm. Father, you recently got some news that you're going to be moving on.
That I am. The Lord calls, you know, wherever the wind blows, you not know where it comes from and where it goes. But so I'm finishing my first assignment here at St. Gabriel's in Mentor, Ohio. So it's about 30 minutes east of Cleveland, kind of along the lake. But I'm going to be moving to a Holy Family in Parma, Ohio, which is kind of just southwest of Cleveland. So my next assignment will be there. So
closer or further to your parents?
A little closer geographically. Yeah, about 37 minutes. I'm about an hour about that from there now. But I'll be about a little over 30 minutes from Akron. It's pretty close to the highway. There's 77 is a highway that runs directly from Cleveland to Akron, so it's not too bad. And Parma is kind of a famous Cleveland city, if you've ever heard about it. So Parma is kind of like the ethnic capital of Cleveland. So they're known for their flamingos and pierogies.
There's
a lot of yard flamingos. I don't exactly know the origin of the yard flamingo, but there's a lot of those. The police stations and the fire stations have them. And then ethnic foods. So I'm Hungarian, Slovak, and Polish. So, you know, I'll be able to connect with the roots.
There you go, man. How far are you from Hubbard, Ohio?
Hubbard, I know the name.
There's a group of sisters out there in Hubbard, Ohio that pray for us. They are the Oblate Sisters of the Sacred Heart, and I'd like to say hello to Sister Karen Burrell, who is always praying for this show, and her brother is actually Father Larry Burrell, who just returned from a trip out to Ohio to visit his sister. Yeah.
That's I just looked at it real quick. It's actually close to Youngstown. So
okay,
that's on the east border of Ohio, right near Pennsylvania. So
okay,
but shout out, it's great.
Yeah, she's very nice. She's just, you know, she's Father Larry's sister, and she's just wonderful. Father, so with you moving on to your new assignment, what's going to happen with Coffee Conversations?
Yeah, the podcast, right? Well, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, you know, at least for me. Yep. So the podcast is not going away. It's gonna remain with the parish. I think the idea was that it was a parish ministry, right? And part of the niceness of it is that you get to reflect on what's going on at the parish and connect people with that. So yep. Deacon Bob is going to carry it on with Samantha Kaufman, who is a new campus minister here. So she works in between the church and the school. Mm-hmm. To kind of evangelize, you know, the youth and kind of do all kinds of good things there. So she's going to be joining, and you know, providentially, she's on a couple episodes already, and I think she's been really great. And both of her parents were in radio when they for their careers and stuff. So she's a natural and will be great. Mm-hmm. And then Father Andy Gonzalez, who's a priest down at Holy Family in Stowe, Ohio. So it's a different Holy Family, not more Akron versus Cleveland. He's a good friend and a classmate, and he's going to be coming to the parish, and we'll see if he plugs in. And I think he's done some things like this before. So, you know, God creates something, you know, he works in it, but he also recreates it. So it'll continue on. Won't have my voice in it, but I really wanted it to be with the parish. So
it's too bad that they're losing you, Father. I've come to really admire St. Gabriel's, you know, over the short time that I've been listening to the podcast. I've really grown to have a lot of respect for you, for Deacon Bob. And I'd actually like to extend an invitation to Deacon Bob to come on to this show and be a guest as well.
Because sure.
I think he's got a lot of great insights.
That's awesome. I'll let him know. And I'm sure he'd love to do that. Hopefully we can make it happen. And yeah, certainly pray for me, pray for Father Andy, pray for Deacon Bob, pray for Samantha. And, you know, but certainly just kind of going through this transition, you know, it's a bittersweet reality. And, you know, certainly in kind of getting ready to start leaving the parish, you know, people will will comment, like, you know, why do you have to leave and everything? And, you know, we have 4-year assignments. And, you know, I think there's a practical part of it, you know, kind of keeps things fresh for both the people and us. But, mm-hmm. but it's a reminder that, you know, we're not living for here. And ultimately, we're living for heaven. And I think it's something of the Paschal mystery, right? It's death, life, death, and resurrection. And certainly there's a difficulty, right? And having a priest go away, you come to know and love, but then there's a joy in who is God bringing to us now? And how is he going to touch people differently? How is he going to work in their lives in ways that I couldn't, just because I am who I am? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's an invitation to a deeper experience of God and his love for us. So.
Wonderful. Dave, do you have any more questions or anything you want to ask Father?
Well, going back to the, you know, the personal philosophies and all this, and of course you touched on early the monism and individualism and relativism.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach, or how would you recommend you approach someone who really doesn't have the same philosophy that is, I'll say, Catholicism based philosophy, whether it's growth or, I was thinking my philosophy a little more simpler. I love.
Yeah.
But how would you, any thoughts on how to approach a conversation against someone who really is, you know, a lot different with one of these individualisms philosophies? How would you approach it?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, certainly I have people in my life, you know, people from grade school, high school, that are coming from very different places than I am. Certainly if they've gone off to any university, secular university, they've been kind of influenced in all kinds of ways, right? I think it relationship is important, you know, that there is a trust, you know, between people. If it's someone on the street, you're maybe only going to get so far. And you know, I think the Lord brings close to us. There's a reason why certain people are close to us. I think it's, you know, building relationship and trust with them. But then in regards to differences, I think what's really important is really being able to hear what is the other person actually saying and helping them to understand, what do I actually believe? And then what's the consequences of that? I don't know if I'm explaining that well right now, but getting to the point of, you know, what do I believe and why do I believe it? You know, how did I come to believe that? I'm not sure at this point.
Okay. Well, certainly the idea of trust and relationship and valuing what they're saying by listening, and then hopefully that is, you know, exchanged and they listen to you. And at least if you're having that kind of a dialogue, I think that's the biggest step of all, right?
Yeah, when you said dialogue, you know, and that's an important, it's two people talking with each other, not two people talking at each other, you know, and I think sometimes, and regardless of what the conversation we're in, you know, do I actually understand what they're saying to me, or do I perceive, you know, what is my perception of what they're actually saying, you know? So, you know, in a conversation, I try to say back what they just said to me. So you, by you saying this, you're saying this and you mean this. You can, you know, so clarity, you know, defining terms, right? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? You know, and not just taking for granted that you're meaning the same thing. You know, so when we, maybe a classic example would be, you know, who is God? You know, you could say the word God and someone could think something very different than what Christianity thinks, right? You know, Jordan Peterson, if you've, you know, heard or listened to his stuff, you know, he, a man on a journey, right? A man who's appreciated truth and tradition and philosophers, and he's asking questions, but he won't answer the question, you know, do you believe in God? And in the sense that he's he wants to define, what do we mean by God first, you know? So defining terms. And I respect that answer insofar as, you know, we're not just going to simply just throw that out. Words have meaning. And we really want to get to the point, you know. So who is God? You know, a lot of people can have a modern conception of, you know, God's the guy who floats on a cloud with a beard and just gives us rules and, you know, and then just judges us whenever we make a mistake. You know, that's not really who Christians believe God is. That's a caricature of God, you know. So what do we actually mean? I think defining terms is an important first step.
Yeah, the thing I call it active listening. And what you're talking about is, yeah, I heard this. This is, repeating back what I'm perceiving you're saying. And of course, in divining terms. So yeah, dialogue and relationship and trust. But unfortunately, I think in our world today, that's very hard to get to when you have people thinking differently. It's very important. You know, I also think about this new evangelization. You know, we've already evangelized basically the entire world, right? But we've lost ground, and now we've got to recapture that ground. And, you know, a lot of what we've lost, I think, is some of these philosophies that people are, holding as true.
Right.
So it's important, very important topic. And
Dave, I think you need to go back and listen to Coffee Conversations. The last episode talked about a lot about what you were talking about in younger people and staying in the church and stuff like that. So
I will do that. Could you send me a link?
I certainly will.
Searching it, I couldn't find it. There's a lot of Copy Conversation podcasts
out
there.
No, I'll more than happy to send you the link to the show. But
just for your listeners, just real briefly, we went to the diocese offered a talk from Sherry Waddell, who's a Catholic thinker. She wrote the book Forming Intentional Disciples, and so she gave a talk, really good, just on like where are we, how have we gotten here, just in regards to people in the faith and the church. We know there's a lot of kind of abysmal statistics on, you know, young people and involvement in the faith. But she had one section where she talked about, you know, why do they stay? You know, for those young people who stay in the church, why do they stay? Mm-hmm. Right. And to your really important question, Dave, the first reason is they had an encounter with God. They had an experience of God in the church or in prayer, right? And it's that experience that awakens a lot of things, significantly desire. And I've been talking about this with people around the parish. You know, we want to awaken desire for God, a desire for faith, to live the faith in the church, not simply do these things, check the lists, do it, you know, and you're a good Catholic, right? We want people to do these things because they're good, because they help us to live our relationship with God, but there has to be desire there first. And it's ultimately God who awakens that desire, not even our talking to them into the faith, right? It's always grace. It's always God's activity that brings about life. But we can be a part of that insofar as we joyfully share our faith with others.
That is wonderfully said, Father. And I think that's going to be the title of this show, is going to be Awakened Desire, because that's really what our philosophy does, is it awakens the desire in our lives.
Right. Amen.
So, Father, you have anything else you want? Is there anything I'm missing before we leave?
No, I think it's really great. I'm just really grateful for this opportunity. We've been sitting here talking for over an hour and everything. Mm-hmm. That this is just something I never anticipated myself doing.
Really? You're natural at it. So Father, can I ask you to give us a blessing?
Sure. I'd love to. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the gift of this day, this opportunity to join together on this podcast. We ask you to bless us today in whatever way that we need your presence and your grace in our life, no matter where we may be at. We know we are your beloved children. We're on a journey. Inspire us on that journey. Awaken our desire for truth, for holiness. We give you thanks and praise for all you've done and all you continue to do. We ask this all in your name. Amen. And the Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
Now, God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father. So for my guest, Father David Stavars, my producer, David Imhoff, I'm down the hall, Dave, praying always that your troubles be less, your blessings be more, and nothing but happiness come through your door. We'll see you next time.